The cold has returned to us once again, with wind chills hovering at or below zero. Good morning, I'm David Fair, and you're listening to Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. It's been a long, hard, cold winter, and it isn't over yet. Still, we can look forward to spring and summer, and that's when we just might reap some benefit from these last few months. My guest this morning is Dr. John Lenters, and Dr. Lenters is Senior Scientist for Limnotech. He is a recognized expert in observation networks, lakes, watersheds, and climate science. He's been involved in a variety of research projects related to the impacts of climate on lakes, particularly in Alaska, Nebraska, and the Great Lakes region. Dr. Lenters has been leading a global initiative to study the long-term warming of lakes worldwide, and he's also working with a number of institutions to establish a coordinated observation network for Great Lakes evaporation. Dr. Lenters, thank you so much for taking time out to spend with us here on 89.1 WEMU.
Sure, no problem.
To start, I'd kind of like to set a baseline of sorts. As we look at the Great Lakes over the past several years, have we seen lower water levels?
Yeah, we have. I mean, especially since about 1998. That was a really low ice winter. We had warm water temperatures into the summer and high evaporation rates. And that kind of set us on a track towards lower water levels that we haven't really recovered from.
Historically speaking, are we about on average a little lower than we should be with the Great Lakes in particular?
They have come back up in the past year or so, and Superior, Erie, Ontario are about near normal. Michigan Huron is still about a foot and a half below normal.
And I don't know how much of this falls into your realm, but what of our inland lakes and rivers? Are lower water levels being seen there as well?
I don't know the answer to that question for say, Michigan lakes. I do know there was a recent study done by the University of Wisconsin where they found that variations in water levels in inland lakes and actually groundwater levels as well in Wisconsin were synchronous with variations in Great Lakes water levels. So there is some correspondence between those.
To what do we attribute these lower levels? I mean, is some of it has to be natural process of annual evaporation and natural water flow, but is climate change a real difference?
I think it is. It's a very long-term process. You know, I often liken it to a train moving down a track, and you've got other things going on within the train. The other things going on within the train are sort of the weather patterns, and the climate is the train that it's riding on. And, you know, it takes a long time for a train to get from one spot to another, and that's sort of what the climate is doing. And so recently we've had low water levels, I think, largely because of drops or increases in evaporation. But we have had, you know, periodic changes in water level due to high precipitation or drought years. And so those are always kind of blips on the screen as well.
We've had so much snow in this area this winter, and ice levels have increased with the frigid temperatures as well. From a scientific perspective, do you see it making a difference for this year?
I do. I mean, we've seen from the long-term data that whenever we have a high ice cover winter, you have colder water temperatures into the summertime because the lakes are so deep and they take quite a while to warm up. And what that the effect that that has on evaporation is it delays the start to next year's evaporation season. Evaporation doesn't really kick in until late summer and into the following fall. And if we had cold summer water temperatures, that leads to a delay in that evaporation season.
This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. We're talking about potential positives that could come from the harsh winter weather this year, and our expert guest is Dr. John Lenters. Dr. Lenters is Senior Scientist for Limnotech. Now, I would assume with higher water levels, we are also better protected against things like land and wetland erosion.
Higher water levels or higher ice cover?
I guess higher ice cover would be the correct way to use the term.
Yeah, when we have high ice cover, at least along the shoreline, especially this year, we've seen a lot of shore-fast ice, which is basically solid ice that sticks to the shoreline, doesn't move around. There's a lot of ice out in the middle of the lake right now that's moving around a lot. It's very dynamic, but the ice near shore is pretty thick and solid. And whenever we have storms, for example, this last massive windstorm that came through, the shorelines were largely protected from that because of the ice pack near shore.
Now, I am certainly hoping that all of the cold and snow has benefits just beyond improved water levels and protecting the shorelines. Does the cold, snow, and ice impact some of those critters that do so much damage to our environment and natural resources?
That's what I've heard. Yeah, I'm not an entomologist, but I've heard that, for example, that it's been beneficial for helping to hold back on the emerald ash borer. Although I heard also from, I believe it was somebody at Michigan State Extension that said that the effects may not be as beneficial as some people might think because the cold came pretty late in the year. We need really cold temperatures earlier in the fall to really impact the emerald ash borer. But there are other examples too. For example, my understanding is that the moose on Isle Royal are strongly impacted by ticks, and the ticks population has been going up in recent decades because of the lack of harsh winters. So perhaps this recent harsh winter will help out.
Well, that's certainly good news. I've got my finger crossed as I prepare to ask this next question, but might colder water temperatures also impact how much the invasive fish species like the Asian carp proliferate and spread?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. I have some friends in the fisheries area that probably would have some insight into that, but there is certainly a likelihood of colder summer water temperatures this year, so that's, I suppose, a possibility.
And again, you are a scientist looking at the water itself, but I would imagine that as part of your research, you've been able to determine whether or not having healthy water systems is an economic benefit perhaps to agriculture and or tourism.
Well, you can certainly say that for water levels. I mean, when we have really low water levels, there are some, you know, beaches that are harder to access. The water is quite a ways out, and you have to kind of walk through sort of wetland areas almost to get to the beach. And so there are certainly economic benefits to having restored water levels back to normal levels.
Looking forward, can you project what we may experience in the next few winters and what the weather models can tell us about our greatest natural resource in this region, our freshwater supply?
Well, I haven't seen anything recently that suggests that we have something to kind of hang our hat on in terms of climate predictions into the near future. Usually we need something like an El Nino pattern, for example, that we're going into. And those are usually have their highest predictive power in the wintertime as well. So we don't really know what's going to go on this coming summer aside from sort of the typical weather patterns.
Looking at the Great Lakes as the resource that it is, what, in your estimation, are the most important elements for us to take as a human population and as a governmental body to best protect them?
You know, I think just being understanding of the fact that we are a human population that has an impact on the climate, and that changes in climate have an impact on our Great Lakes. So what you do in your backyard affects global weather patterns, and in the long term, they can impact the Great Lakes.
Dr. Lenters, thank you so much for your time today. It is greatly appreciated.
You bet. Thank you.
That is Dr. John Lenters. He is senior scientist for LimnoTech and a recognized expert in observation networks, lakes, watersheds, and climate science. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition, and it's produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division. This is 89.1 WEMU.